Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Take Six Podcast. This is going to be an all Raptors edition. I want to say this is double digits now that we've finally made it to, but I could be very wrong. As always, Hunter Surplus here, and on the other line, Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, what's going on?
I'm doing pretty well, other than battling through a cold right now. Some mid-season blues, as some people might say.
But mid-season blues. maybe we'll get you on some load management these next couple weeks here. But yeah, so like I said, Raptors podcast today. If you guys want, you can follow us on Instagram at Take Six Podcast, Twitter at @take_6. Search us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating and review. Subscribe. Do whatever. But please do something, because we appreciate it and it means a lot to us. Anyways, you can also go find us at takesix.org. A couple blog posts, articles. We post our podcast there too, just in case you don't have Spotify, you don't have Apple Music, you don't have any of those other platforms. So you can find us there as well. A lot of good stuff going on. So like I said about four times already, this is a Raptors podcast, and this is the kind of part of the season where not a whole lot's going on. It's kind of the garbage games, and you know, this is the downtime where guys are resting and just kind of hanging out before the playoffs start, or the teams that aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, for the teams that are doing really well, like the teams who are in like 7th, 8th place, they're working their butts off.
Yeah, but being the perennial winners that we are, we don't have to worry about any of that nonsense. One thing we do have to worry about, though, and I say that, you know, fairly softly, is Kyle Lowry got injured in the game against the Knicks this weekend, where Mitchell Robinson took a pretty not nice fall onto his leg. And it's an ankle injury, but they say it's not too bad. He'll miss a couple games here and there. Kyle, are you concerned about that injury?
I mean, from the initial reports, no. But if you remember, not so long ago, Mr. Valanciunas, it turned into like a 2-month injury. So you can never be too sure until he's actually back on the court. But I have high hopes for him to come back healthy and strong, because Larry's a player. He wants to be out there and play, especially when his team is going into the playoffs. He doesn't want to miss a lot of time, especially because what happened last year, like Freddie was our man going into the playoffs, and then he got injured, and then he came back too early and just didn't perform. So I feel like Larry is going to want to come back really early, but let's hope he doesn't rush it.
Yeah, and I think this is probably a good thing. Like I said, load management with you, like load management is kind of the phrase of this NBA season. And like, whether it's because of an injury, I mean, which it is in this case, an injury, it'll be good for Lowry to kind of get a couple days off here, right? Where he can just maybe not play a game or two in, well, probably more than a game or two, but they'll probably extend this quote unquote injury time for a couple days longer than it should, or than, you know, is needed, just to get him to make sure that he's fully ready. And, you know, obviously sitting 4 or 5 games won't hurt him physically necessarily. And he'll probably be able to come out even stronger after the injury, where he's been playing a lot of minutes, a lot of games here. And it's always good to get a little bit of rest, even if it's, you know, midseason. And this, we've seen this happen in the past, right? Like, obviously not because of injuries, but you know, LeBron James sits a few games near the end of the season. Greg Popovich's guys have always sat a few games near the end of the season. And I think this is probably going to be the same thing. He's a little injured. Yeah, it doesn't seem too serious. Obviously, if it was serious, this would be a totally different story. But as of right now, it doesn't seem too serious. They initially said he was, you know, pretty much a game time decision for tonight's game. And now he's been ruled as out. No surprise. He's probably going to be out 2 or 3 more games, maybe 4 or 5. And I'm okay with that, because I don't think I think with him, the chemistry is not an issue with the rest of the team. So it's not like we're losing 5 games of chemistry buildup before the playoffs. It's more like, yeah, let's let these other guys get some run. Let's let Jeremy Lin get some run. Let's let Fred VanVleet get some run. as the kind of main point guard, and then let's get Siakam the ball. You know, let him run the point here a little bit, and then Kawhi Leonard, improve the ball handling, get it all crisp and tight, nice passes, all that kind of stuff. So not the worst thing to have happen, especially with Fred VanVleet coming back into the lineup at this time.
And Jeremy Lin coming off a good game.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're gonna be able to afford, like, they can afford this injury. And like I said, it's more of a,
like, obviously they could push for more wins, but it's like you really don't have to.
You don't need it. I don't think they're gonna get the first seed. And
it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is that the Sixers aren't gonna catch them.
And we have a better record than anyone in the West right now. So
yeah, so we're fine. So about that injury, are you? So like, I've been talking to a few people, and they're kind of mad that they think that the injury was kind of BS on the Raptors' part, because Kyle Lowry was playing in quote-unquote garbage time, even though there was 5 and change left in the third quarter. What do you think, that Nick Nurse is in the wrong here at all?
No. Like, that could have happened to anyone. Like, it could have happened at the beginning of the game. It's not like, obviously, you can take Lowry out for these garbage minutes, but you can also give him that more playing time. Because as we've seen with this team that's been ever changing throughout the season, that they need more time together, and the more time, the better. And it's just an injury. It was not like a freak accident, but like it happens. And I don't think Nick Nurse is to blame for that.
Yeah, I kind of see where people are coming from. They're up like 30-something in the second half, but like, it's still the third quarter.
Fourth quarter with,
yeah, like, you can, yeah, I'm sure he would have started sitting Kyle Lowry with, you know, the entire fourth quarter. He would have sat him. I can almost guarantee you that Nick Nurse is smart enough to do that. But to expect him to take him out, like, not even at like the 5 and like whatever it was, 5:30 or 5:25, mm-hmm. not even that mark, but like the 7-minute mark, because I think that was like roughly around the 7-minute mark is where the last like stoppage in play where he could have taken him out was. You're not taking that guy out with 7 minutes to play in the third quarter. I don't care how much you're up. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's like the same with like not comparing obviously to Steph Curry, but Steph, he sits out the entire fourth quarter. He doesn't sit out half of the third quarter too.
That's a very good point. Cause like that game where they blew out the Bulls this year by, what was it, like 50 something, the Clay was still going off in the third quarter. Clay, I mean, they took him out at some point in the third quarter, but he made it to the, you know, the 3-minute or so mark in that third quarter, chasing that 3-point record. And that's exactly what happened here. I don't, it didn't make sense to me. And like, I think that the people who are mad about this are also the same people who are mad about Kawhi Leonard sitting out for his quote unquote load management. And there's that word again. But like, I don't understand it. It's the third quarter, dude. I don't know. That's not garbage time. There's still more than, you know, 30% of the game left. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Did you think it was a dirty play by Mitchell Robinson?
I mean, it kind of, I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like, unless it's Zaza Pachulia, man, like, you never know. Like, because that guy, he'll stomp on anyone's knees if he has to. But
yeah,
it's hard to tell, man. You can't, because you can't really, like you can accuse people of that, but that is just, I'd say no. But I could also say yes. Like, it's like I said, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, I think it looks worse than it was. Like, I've kind of flopped back and forth between it. It's like, oh, that was unnecessary. But then I look at who did it, and it's like, that's a rookie. He, I don't think he would be malicious like that, but like, it's a rookie who kind of feeds off of being that high energy, really good defensive guy. So if there's a loose ball or a potential for a loose ball that he can kind of jump on and grab, like, I totally expect that he does that. And I don't, like, obviously he didn't do it on purpose. He would never, a lot of these guys, they would never do something like that on purpose. It's not a contact sport like hockey where you like try to hit somebody. But I think he was just what it was more than anything was just kind of recklessness. And that comes with him being the rookie, right? Like, it's not, I don't think there's anything against him where I can say, yeah, he's a dirty player. He's Zaza Robinson or whatever. Like, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. So next topic we can move on to is the Serge Ibaka fight against the Cleveland Cavaliers Marquise Chris. And this isn't the first time Serge Ibaka has gotten into an altercation.
He's got to have one. He's got at least one a year. He's got
and you know what? You know what? That's okay with me. That is totally okay with me. We're seeing less fighting in hockey. Bring in more fighting
to
this.
Bring it into basketball.
Bring it into basketball. Let's do it. As long as, you know, no one's actually getting hit, I'm okay with it.
with Ibaka, he never hits.
Yeah, exactly. So if Art, like, I don't know, people have been concerned about this, like saying that he's, you know, too rowdy and too this and too that, that he has a bit of an attitude issue. What are your thoughts on this Serge Ibaka fight and his history of fights?
So what had happened before, I remember with Robin Lopez, Lopez swung first. That was during that fight. That was last year, one of his many last year. I think he had like three or something, which was pretty crazy. But this one, I don't know. I think that what's his name on the Cavs?
Chris. Marquise, yeah. Chris.
Yeah, Chris. I think he must have said something really bad to him because he like walked over to him. He didn't even like step over him really. And it looked like he said something real quick. And then Ibaka just got up and went for the choke. And I was like, oh my God. This guy must have said something insane to him because unless, like, we don't know what was going on. Maybe something was going on personally with Ibaka and that just, like, set him off. I think it was a little bit abrupt from Ibaka to just start going in swinging because Chris really didn't do anything other than, like, maybe he said something extremely offensive to him, but he didn't touch him at all. And then Ibaka just went for the kill, so I mean, obviously, he's on our team, so I'm going to say that I don't mind it, but I can see where people are like, yeah, this guy's a little bit on the crazy side right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, that was probably the biggest, like, shock of the whole thing was like...
I was like, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, why?
Yeah, it's like, why is this... Yeah, what the hell's... I didn't know the Undertaker was coming back, right? Bomb.
He's got him in the choke.
Yeah, like, what the hell? That was kind of funny, first of all. But I do thoroughly enjoy, you know, NBA fights. So, like, seeing... and like, not because I want to see someone get messed up. Because, realistically, these 7 feet, you know, at least 200-pound guys... someone's going to get hurt very bad. Yep. If someone, and we've seen it in the past, right? Like we've seen fights where people have actually connected on their punches and it's not a good thing. It really is not. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good on the player. It doesn't look good on the guy who got knocked out. It doesn't look good on the league. And I just like the intensity of it. Cause even though the Raptors are playing the Cavs in a game that they were getting blown out in, it made the game feel like it actually meant something more afterwards. I mean, not really for Raptors, at least, but like I could see that me as a Cavs fan, it's like, oh my God, like, yeah, we're last place in our conference, but now this game kind of means something. It kind of makes me want to watch it more. It makes me a little bit more intrigued. And like, I'm happy Marquise Chris didn't lose all oxygen to his brain from the Ibaka choke and that Ibaka didn't totally smoke him, like, because that would have been ugly. That would have been really bad.
Yeah, that would have been, like, he probably would have got assault charges, probably. Yeah,
exactly. And as uncalled for as it was, I was kind of like, you know, like, after the play, you're kind of like, okay, let me see if I can check my phone. Maybe I'll check Twitter, Instagram for a couple seconds, see what's going on. Oh, I got a text. Let me look at that. I was kind of doing that and, like, had my eyes still on the game. And then I see Serge Ibaka get up and just charge Marquise Chris. And I was like, oh, my God. Abort mission. And I had to watch it. It was fantastic. But yeah, like you said, like, it's not concerning to me. It shows emotion, right? Like, the guy, obviously, he seems so cool and calm and collected in the media and on his stupid cooking show. that this, I think that this, like, something must have happened, right? Like, something.
Kawhi probably told him during the show, I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Set him off. Something like that, right? And he was just like, right? Marquise Chris was probably like, Kawhi's not being here next year. Kawhi's not going to be here next year to save you guys again. It's like, yeah.
You're the reason Kawhi's leaving.
Yeah, it's bang, like, bang, oh my bang, God. Bang, bang, yeah, bang. Literally. So. So I could see something like that would have happened, but like also, you're a basketball player. You're down 20 something points. I probably would have wanted to punch Marquise Chris too. So, whatever. Earlier this week, the Raptors also played the Detroit Pistons and Dwayne Casey, which was a game that they lost, and that's their third loss against the Pistons, which means that they've been swept in their season series versus the number six seed in the playoffs right now, but they've been kind of toggling between six, seven, and eight throughout this past few weeks, and it looks like that's kind of how it's going to stay.
I think it's either going to be Brooklyn or Detroit. Miami's kind
of... Yeah, Miami's been surging as of late, but we'll. I think it's either, like you said, either Brooklyn or Detroit, and I think Brooklyn probably comes in with a few nice wins to round this season off, and we'll probably jump up to six. Either way, both really good matchups. I'd rather see a Brooklyn matchup in terms of entertainment value. I think Brooklyn's a much more fun team to watch. D'Angelo Russell, like we saw last night, can take over just about any game, but maybe not against a good defense like the Raptors. Regardless, I think it'd be very fun. A lot of threes, which would mean, you know, probably a lot of close games. Anyways, let's get back to the Pistons here. If we do play the Pistons in the first round, which it looks like we could, as I just said, are you scared that we've been swept in the season series?
I mean, we've talked about this a bit about this before. I'm not necessarily scared just because, Dwayne Casey says they have the experience, but like your franchise has the experience, not necessarily all your players. Like, obviously, Blake Griffin being just mollywopped in the playoffs, always. Like,
mollywopped.
He hasn't done well in the playoffs in a long, long time, if ever. And Drummond hasn't made it to the playoffs, I don't think. Has he? Has he been in the playoffs?
Because
they usually do pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, man.
Yeah, so there is not a lot of experience on their big players in terms of like facing these gigantic teams. Like I said before, Blake Griffin, when he used to have like a super squad. They were supposed to go to the final, like, oh, LA Clippers are going to the finals this year, like with the Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. And I don't know. They're not that big a threat to me. I think that the Raptors are definitely going to have it together during the playoffs. And Detroit might take a couple games off, make it six games most. Like, let's hope not. Let's hope it's like a five-game series just so we can have that rest going into the next stage of the playoffs. But I'm not scared of the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm not scared at all. Maybe they take one or two away from us. Like, outside of Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, like, they're pretty butt.
Yep.
Like, I think their next best player is Reggie Jackson, and he's a bum-ass point guard. So, like, outside of those three, like, can you even name most of their nine-man rotation?
No.
I can't. That's it. That's it. That's all I can name. It'll be cool to see Dwayne Casey for, you know, five games probably in the playoffs. That'll be a fun experience. It'll be probably emotional, a little bit poetic when we whoop his bum-ass team out of the playoffs in five games. So, you know, he's used to that feeling. The Raptors are going to get a big win, and it'll be nice to beat Dwayne Casey. And I hope we beat him on home court. Like, I hope we do get it to a fifth game and we can, you know, beat him on home court. The crowd gives him a standing O. And, you know, speaking of that, it's probably going to be like however many games. Like, if for whatever reason it does go to seven games, all seven of those games are going to be home games. Because in the playoffs, more people are going to go to Detroit than they did in the regular season. And we already saw what this Raptors fan base can do in terms of showing out in Detroit, which is absolutely fantastic. Like, I think I'm probably going to try to make a trip out there if we do end up playing Detroit, and try to watch a Raptors playoff game out in Detroit and try to join the crowd. But like I said, like, Griffin and Drummond are their best players. Are they going to dominate any series against any playoff team in this entire, like, even if they're playing like the 8 seed, I don't think they dominate against anyone. They might be the best players in a series against like the Heat or something. They're not going to dominate the series no matter what. Like, they could be playing Cleveland Cavaliers for all I care. They're not going to dominate the series. Mm-hmm. And that's like Kawhi, it's going to dominate the series. Kyle Lowry, he might not dominate, but he'll play better than Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. So yeah, I'm on board with you. And I think 95% of Raptors fans are on board with that as well. Like, even if they don't play the Pistons, if it's Brooklyn or Miami, even if Orlando somehow sneaks in there, like, they should not be scared in the slightest bit outside of the top three or four teams or whatever. But even then, I don't think they're scary. So that is about it, I think. Like,
I have just one thing I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So I've been seeing recently, obviously we've been on the Siakam train, but I've been seeing around the NBA and just pretty much everywhere that D'Angelo Russell is making his case for most improved player. And obviously he's competing with Siakam. Who do you think right now has the bigger shot of getting it?
Oh, I think it's Siakam, and it's not even close, dude. Like, D'Angelo Russell can make his case, but D'Angelo Russell went from starter to good starter, and Pascal Siakam went from good bench player to extremely good start. Like, I would take, in a vacuum, I would take Siakam over D'Angelo Russell right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have the exact same career highs, and D'Angelo Russell has been playing basketball for a lot longer than Siakam has. Like, Siakam's been playing for like 8 or 9 years
since he was 17.
Yeah, Siakam is a much more round player, and I think that jump was genuinely bigger in not only just his numbers, but his role on the team. Like, if this is the same Siakam as last year, he's a really good role player, not a really good starter. That not only like, and the crazy thing is like, people are still kind of disrespecting D'Angelo Russell, and you know, it makes sense why the disrespect is there and why people are saying, yeah, he's not as good as everyone thinks he is. But Siakam, people are respecting Siakam, and they understand that he is a really important contributor to this Raptors team, who is, guess what, second in the league. Like you said, they have the best, you know, the second most wins in the Eastern Conference, more than anyone in the West. Brooklyn can't say that. He's not, like, obviously, I think D'Angelo Russell has the bigger role in terms of his team and his team success. But Siakam, especially with Kawhi sitting out for 20 games and Lowry sitting out for however many games, Siakam has had to be that dude at a lot of different points in this season. And he's shown that, yeah, like, I can hang with these guys too. And I can hang when they're here, and I can hang when they're not here. And it's, I think, like, obviously there's arguments to be made for both guys, but I think it's not even really close between the two.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I didn't obviously want to start a comment war in an Instagram post, but I was getting close to it because people, I don't know, like, people see, like, D'Angelo, oh, like, he had a great game where he took over the fourth quarter last night, and all of a sudden he's most improved player. I'm just like, Siakam has been playing amazing the entire season, so I don't understand why people would, like, obviously because he's had these great games, and they were going to lose that game if he didn't score that many points in the fourth quarter. Like, Brooklyn, he's shining in Brooklyn because the rest of the players are mediocre and they're playing well together. That's, like, I don't want to say that's, like, what Antetokounmpo is doing, but it's kind of the same thing where he's just the amazing star on a team full of mediocre players that are playing really well together on a bigger scale, obviously. And I'm not like, I think Antetokounmpo is like top five in the league, top three. But I think that D'Angelo Russell is because he, like you said before, he went from a starter to a great starter. And he was this stud kid on the Lakers who they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna build around this guy. And then, I mean, the whole whatever happened with Swaggy P, and we don't have to get into that, but that he was just thrown away pretty much, and now he's back, and he has the potential that people did see in him, but Siakam has potential that practically, or he's playing the way that practically nobody said he would. Everyone kept saying that he's gonna max out when he scored like 20 points or whatever, and he's gonna be at his best next year, like last year. And yeah, I definitely think that Siakam is the shoe-in for the most improved player. Obviously, him being on the Raptors, the NBA is gonna be like, yeah, nah, he doesn't deserve it just because they hate us for some reason.
And I also think, kind of going off of your point here, is that the expectations for Siakam were much lower. And I think that's where you can actually see where this most improvement, like if you look at what people were saying about Siakam to begin the season, no one said, yeah, maybe he's going to turn into a almost all-star guy. Like that never crossed my mind. And both you and I have been really big Pascal Siakam believers, right? Since he's come into the league. And even I didn't think that Siakam was going to turn into this all-star type, especially not this year.
Not yet. Yeah,
especially not this year, right? And it's kind of crazy to see that it's actually happened, that he was actually generating some all-star buzz. Like, you would see him in that, like, we saw him in that top 10 list of the all-star voting. I never thought that we were going to ever see that this season with Siakam. And I think that is where it should push it over the edge, right? Like, we expected Siakam to be here, and he's gone way above and way beyond what those expectations were, which isn't that improvement? Like, isn't that an exponential improvement rather than, oh yeah, D'Angelo Russell is going to be probably a fringe all-star on this team again? Isn't that exactly what he is? Like, he made the all-star game, but because Victor Oladipo got injured.
Due to an injury.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, arguments for both guys, but I think it's way, way more in Siakam's favor. And oh, you know what? There is one thing I want to touch on, and we'll talk about it really quick. The OVO practice facility, new practice facility. Are you up or down on this?
I think it's a great move, just because now you're associated with this clothing brand that is well known throughout North America, if not the world, and now you have this stamp of Drake on this practice facility. Like, I saw it when I was coming back from school last weekend, and it makes a statement that the Toronto Raptors are this is gonna sound weird, but like a young hip team, you know, like they're pairing with a clothing brand. Like, that's pretty weird for especially in with these new jerseys, you know, like they have these big names on them, like Hallmark or whatever the Boston Celtics have. And it's good. I like it. I like the move. Now Drake can't run anymore. He's got to come to the games.
Yeah, like I like this a lot. And I mean, it's like people who are mad about it, it's like, this is realistically only going to last, you know, 5 years, 6 years. I don't know how long the partnership is, but it probably won't be it was the BioSteel Center for what? Like, I don't even think it was 3 years that it was the BioSteel Center, was it?
It just recently changed.
Yeah,
was its third year.
Yeah, so like, it doesn't even, you know, it's not even really, it's not a permanent thing. Maybe it is, who knows?
It's but not like it's on the main core team.
Yeah,
it's the practice facility.
It's not OVO Arena, right? Yeah. Like, it's Scotiabank Arena, that's still where we're playing. This is, people are going to forget about this unless you're driving in on the Gardner at some point, or the QEW, whatever it is. People are going to forget about this by next season. I guarantee you that. And I think it's cool. Like you said, young and hip. It's going to influence the younger people to like the Raptors more. Obviously, people are liking them a lot more now because they're doing better, and basketball is such a huge platform nowadays.
The Drake influence as well.
Yeah, and the Drake influence is going to get people who maybe didn't watch the Raptors games, and maybe this means that there's going to be more events held at a Raptors practice facility too, because they did redo a little bit of it and they did make it look cool. So maybe, you know, that brings in opportunity for, like I said, a couple more events throughout the season that you can interact with fans more and bring more and more fan engagement to games, which is exactly what you want, right? You want those, that excitement, you want that genuine passion and stuff from these fans, and you want to build that kind of connection with them that will hopefully last like a lifetime kind of thing, right? Like, so hopefully I'm still a Raptors fan when I'm 80, if I live that long. And I think that's probably what the biggest part about it is. But Drake, Kawhi should sign with OVO if he stays in Toronto rather than New Balance.
Yeah, that'd be a better move. I mean, New Balance put out that cash for him. I don't think OVO has enough money now.
I'd give him a record label or something.
Give him a rap career.
Yeah, give Uncle, what's his uncle's name again?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. Whatever. Give his uncle, who calls all the shots, give him a record deal. Give him, you know, a studio, whatever he wants. Make sure he stays in Toronto, Drake. That should have been your first step. Maybe that's why he's doing it, because he knows the Raptors are going to be good. Maybe Kawhi told him on the low, hey, man, I'm staying. And now Drake's like, oh, buddy, I'm going to put my name on this right now before Kawhi wins 3 championships in 4 years with the Raptors. All right. I think that can be a wrap, Cal. Like I said at the top of the episode, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Take Six. That is Take Six IX. Go to our website, takesix.org. Once again, takesixix.org. Find some new content. We try to post stuff weekly. And thank you for listening. Callum, thank you for joining me. It was always a pleasure, my man.
You too, buddy.